There was a day that compassion had a face and kindness had a name, Sergeant Kirkland. In today's program, we'll explore the meaning of a Civil War painting that'll touch your heart. Welcome to another segment of The Master's Brush, featuring the powerful artwork of Nathan Green. Nathan, I'm delighted to be in your studio again.
Thank you.
This has been a very fascinating series, and we've done religious art in each of the previous programs, mm-hmm. and you're known as one of America's renowned religious artists, mm-hmm. but we're talking about a Civil War painting today.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this painting and about painting something that is a non-religious theme.
Sure. Well, you know, I've long had an interest in history. In fact, when I was in school at Andrews University, I would really enjoy my history classes and spend every opportunity I had to read American history and British history in particular. And I have family from, you know, General Nathanael Greene from the Revolutionary War was an ancestor of ours, and I had ancestors on both sides of the American Civil War. And when I work in my studio here, I listen to books on CD and books on tape. Most of my library is of history, biographies and American history especially. So it's near to my heart for one thing, but I also had an interest in doing some, going in a new direction, showing paintings that without necessarily portraying Jesus, showing his character and people, you know, people that have done things that are reflecting Jesus' character.
War is very gruesome, horrible.
Yes.
Often the innocent suffer. Mm-hmm. But again, as so characteristic in your paintings, you attempted in this picture mm-hmm. to show a different face to war. Describe
yes.
what's really going on here.
Yes. This painting is titled For I Was Thirsty. And it's based on a true story that really happened at the Battle of Fredericksburg. In 1862, Abraham Lincoln relieved General McClellan finally for not being aggressive enough, and he gave command of the U.S. Army, the Union Army, to Burnside. Now, Burnside was reluctant to take command. He did not feel competent to do so. But Lincoln gave him that assignment anyways and pressured him to move forward. Well, it all culminated at Fredericksburg, where Burnside and his Union forces met up with General Lee, Robert E. Lee, and Confederate forces, who had plenty of time to entrench themselves on the high ground. So Burnside ordered an attack on Marie Heights as a diversion for the primary attack off to the south. And that attack was not successful. The Confederates were behind a stone wall. The Union troops went up the hill and were just mowed down. In fact, in the course of the day, there were at least 7 or 8 attacks ordered, and no one got within 40 yards of the wall. So it was a terrible massacre. At the end of the day, there were 8,000 men killed or wounded on that hill. All night long, the Confederate soldiers from behind the wall could hear the cries of the wounded Union soldiers, mostly crying out for relief, mostly crying out for water, because when you're dehydrated, especially from wounds, it can be a very severe thing. And in the morning, Sergeant Kirkland, Richard Kirkland, this 19-year-old young man from South Carolina, couldn't stand the sound of the cries anymore. So he went to his commanding officer and he said, "Sir, can I please do something to help these poor men?" And his officer said, "Well, I can't give you that permission, Kirkland. You're going to have to go to the general." Well, General Kershaw was up in the second floor of the building overlooking the battle scene, and happened to be from Kirkland's hometown in South Carolina. So Kirkland runs up the stairs of the house and he says, "General, could I please do something to help these poor fellows?" And the general said, "Well, Kirkland, you put your head over the wall, you're gonna get a bullet in it." And he says, "I know that, sir, I'm willing to take that chance. I just can't stand it anymore." So the general thought about it and deliberated, and he finally said, "Kirkland, it's really admirable what you're wanting to do, and with God's blessing, you can do it." So Kirkland was all excited. He said, "Thank you, sir," and he ran down the stairs, and a few seconds later, General Kershaw heard footsteps coming back up the stairs, and he said, "Oh, he's changed his mind." Kirkland said, "Sir, can I hold up a white handkerchief?" And the general said, "Sorry, Kirkland, I can't let you do that. It would give the false impression that we're under a truce." "No problem, sir. I'm going to do it anyways." So he filled as many canteens as he could carry from a spring that was behind the wall, and he went over the wall. And when the Union sharpshooters realized what he was doing, that he was not up to any no good, they ceased fire. In fact, one account says that the Union troops cheered for him, and then the Confederates let up a cheer. And for an hour and a half, this one 19-year-old boy went back and forth, giving water to the wounded, straightening broken limbs, covering them because it was extremely cold. It was December when this happened. And when he could take care of everybody in that realm of his of the battlefield, he went back over the wall, and they continued fighting.
One life can make a significant difference.
Yes.
In so many lives.
Yes.
Mack Wyckoff, historian at Fredericksburg, tells that story in very, very glowing graphic terms.
I'd like to hear that.
Well, we're here on the Fredericksburg battlefield, and on the 13th of December, 1862, General Ambrose Burnside attacked with about 120,000 Union soldiers. There were two areas of fighting, including right here. Union attacks would have come from my left, from your right, across what was then open fields out of the town of Fredericksburg to attack Confederate soldiers, about 80,000 men that the Confederates had here under General Robert E. Lee. They would have been off to my right to your left on high ground, which is called Marie's Heights. Sergeant Richard Kirkland was a member of the 2nd South Carolina of Joseph Kershaw's brigade that was moved up on top of the heights in the early afternoon of December 13th to reinforce some Georgians who were here on the heights and at the bottom of the heights where we're standing along a sunken road and a stone wall. During the course of that night on December the 13th, they tried to get as many of these Union wounded soldiers away from the field as they could, but there were just so many of them that as the sun came up on the morning of the 14th, there was a dense fog. The Confederate soldiers looked out and saw Union soldiers out here, and anybody who was moving around was being shot at. And Richard Kirkland is very touched by what he hears out here. So he just walked over from a position right in front of where I'm now standing over to where there was a house just slightly to my left. And so young Richard Kirkland went into the house and up to the second floor and proposed to General Kershaw that he would like to go out in front of the Confederate lines to assist the suffering Union soldiers. Well, there was no truce at the time, and General Kershaw said, of course, no, you can't do that. But young Kirkland continued to make his case, and eventually General Kershaw relented, saying that you could do this, but what you do on your own. There is no truce. You can't go out there waving a white flag, a white shirt, or anything to indicate that there was a truce, because they're not. What you do as an individual. So Kirkland, agreeing to these terms with General Kershaw, came back here behind the stone wall, no doubt got with his buddies, gathered up canteens, went to a well, which still stands right in front of me over here, and filled the canteens with water, and then at extreme risk to himself, did he go out and try to help Union soldiers who were suffering, taking them water, taking them warm clothing, do whatever he could as a human being to help out other suffering Union soldiers.
What does this story have to do with your life today? And what does this painting say to men and women sometimes caught in the grip and the conflict of personal war or wars in their countries? It has a surprising lesson. When we come back after the break, we'll probe the deeper meaning of the painting. Welcome back. Nathan, how do you ensure that the details of a painting like this are authentic?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question because, you know me well enough to know that I'm a bit obsessive perfectionist in my character, and this comes through on a project like this. I did make several trips to Fredericksburg to research this, talk to Mack Wyckoff and other historians at the Park Service. I photographed the wall, the stone wall, the buildings that are shown in here are still there, and they were there during the battle. But I also have an advantage of having a very close friend, Eric Hegman, who lives nearby here in Michigan, who is a Civil War reenactor and has been for years, but he also consults for the movie industry. Every time there's a, or often, I should say, when there's a Civil War movie created, he is part of that project, including the film that was done on the Battle of Fredericksburg. He also has loaned me many props and costumes. What you see here between us are some of the costumes that he loaned me for this, the Union soldier's greatcoat, a whole bunch of canteens that we use for Kirkland to be holding over his shoulder. These two weapons, one is a Springfield rifle, mainly known for use by the Union side. The other is an Enfield rifle, which is a British-made rifle used by both sides during the war. We have a scabbard, and these are called brogans, the shoes that a soldier would have worn at the time. These are all artifacts that would be authentic. Even this jacket here, I found out from some of my Civil War historian friends that the Richmond Type II jacket would have been the one issued in 1862, just before the Battle of Fredericksburg. So this is accurate even for that time period.
Nathan, each of the props you use are authentic.
Yes.
But yet there's something more than the precise detail of the props and the authenticity there, but it's some authentic spiritual lesson that really reveals genuine Christianity. Mm-hmm. What's the main lesson in this painting?
Well, when I look at this painting, I'm thinking of the words of Jesus when he said, "No greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friends." And this is a case where not only was he willing to lay down his life for his friends, he was willing to lay down his life even for his enemies. And to me, that's pretty profound.
When you think about Sergeant Kirkland going over that wall, mm-hmm. risking his own life, mm-hmm. it reminds one of Jesus stepping over the wall,
yes.
leaving the security of heaven,
yeah.
leaving the safety, getting involved in the battle between good and evil, coming to this earth to offer us the water of life, to
yes.
quench the thirst in our spiritual souls. So this, although this is not a picture of Jesus, in a sense it is a picture of
it
Jesus.
It is, exactly. And that's just the impression I want people to have, that this is Jesus without literally showing Jesus. This is Jesus' character in action.
It really is. Mm-hmm. How was this this painting commissioned? Who commissioned it?
This was commissioned by Terry and Colleen Anderson. Terry is a businessman that we met at an ASI convention.
ASI is?
Adventist Layman Services and Industries.
A group of Christian lay people.
Yes. And, he saw the painting that I did called For I Was Hungry, the one of the little girl giving the sandwich to a homeless man, and was moved by that, and he and his wife both. And they wanted to commission one on the idea of I Was Thirsty. So in dialogue afterwards, we talked about this, and they discovered my love for American history and my desire to paint something like this, and they were willing to do that.
For the Andersons, commissioning this painting has been a deeply moving spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to their testimony, what the painting means to them.
Okay.
We went to ASI 2 years ago in 2007, and we see all our old friends there, and we went to Heart Research, their booth, and Nathan Green's there every year, and we saw one of his paintings. And Nathan's work he's been blessed. He's been given a gift by God. And we looked at it, and we hadn't given it a lot of thought, but Colleen and I kind of looked at each other and said that, wow, that's pretty cool. So we kind of talked to Nathan, and of course, not knowing how the art process works, I didn't, that one's already, somebody's already spoken for it or purchased it. And so we went into the discussion about what it takes if we wanted a painting like that.
We ordered the painting and began the process of hearing Nathan's story and watching the art develop, seeing him do sketches and drawings and a pre-painting that corrects some of his changes. And he sent us information about the story of Sergeant Richard Kirkland at the Battle of Fredericksburg, and how this man could not take hearing the soldiers on both sides of the battlefield, the wounded soldiers, crying out for water and in pain. The topic and the scene really touched our hearts, and we were so excited to get the painting delivered. When it finally became delivered, I had to hire someone to hang it and light it properly. And the people that came to hang it for me and light it properly were very interested in the subject. And so it was an opportunity for me to share about what Sergeant Kirkland did, but it also opened up the way for me to share Jesus. And ever since then, everyone who's come to our house has commented on the painting. It's one of the first things they see when they walk in. They've commented on the painting, and it's been a wonderful added benefit that we've been able to have a discussion about Jesus each and every time.
It's when you order the painting, you don't know exactly what you're going to get. And the painting for me, let's face it, I don't know a lot about art. But I do know pictures. And to look at the picture after it's done, it very much expresses the values that we believe in, mm-hmm. and what Christ would want us to do. And ultimately, I look at it every morning, and I hope I go out that day, and somehow, some way, I can touch someone in a little manner, let alone in a big manner, something similar to what Kirkland had done.
Jesus invites us to step out, to step over the wall of our own enclosures, the wall that surrounds our own personalities, the wall that hems us in. Do you have walls in your life? Walls that prohibit you from reaching out in kindness and compassion to other people? Are there walls in your own life that keep you from being the kind of person that God wants you to be? Richard Kirkland surmounted those walls. And ultimately, I understand, Nathan, that he paid the ultimate price.
He did. 9 months later, Kirkland was killed at the Battle of Chickamauga. And he'd been through most of the major battles up to that time, including Gettysburg.
Is there any evidence that this young man was a Christian?
He was. He was thought to be, he was told to be very religious, a very kind young man, excellent horseman, very handsome young man. And he had been writing letters to apparently a sweetheart back home before his death.
Richard Kirkland models for you and me the ministry of Jesus Christ. He models what Christianity is all about. Christianity is more than simply sitting in a church with stained glass windows and singing hymns. It's more than simply entering into the enclosed walls of a church sanctuary and feeling warm in our heart. Christianity is out there in the marketplace, out there in the workplace, out there in the school that we attend, the hospital that we work at as a physician or a nurse, the shop that we work at as a sales clerk, the garage we work at as a mechanic, the computer programmer desk that we sit at sharing with another computer programmer. You see, Christianity is all about touching some life, changing some life, because we offer them the water of kindness and love and compassion. Right after the break, we're going to come back and talk about how to put this kindness into action. This painting, For I Was Thirsty, is based on Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus talks about qualifications for the kingdom of God. This idea of kindness is so important that Jesus lists it as one of the essential prerequisites to enter into his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35 and onward, it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. The righteous will answer him, verse 37, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Every act of kindness that we share with another is as if done to Christ himself. As you're walking through life today, and you reach out and touch somebody in kindness, it's like being kind and compassionate to Jesus. Water is a symbol throughout the Bible of the satisfaction that only God himself can give. And so in the effort of Kirkland to give water to dying Union soldiers, we see Jesus supplying to us the water of life, that inner love and compassion. As Kirkland reached out and held Union soldiers in his arms, we see a picture of Jesus reaching out to us, holding us in his arms. We see Jesus, compassionate, kind, loving, satisfying the deepest thirst of our souls. Christ is the one that meets every need. Do you remember the story in the Bible of the woman at the well? She came at noon. Why? The usual time for drawing water was early in the morning. Nobody would come at noon in the heat of the day. But she came at noon because she didn't want to be with the other women at that village social gathering early in the morning. She wanted to be alone to gather her water. She was an outcast. She had multiple husbands. She was feeling the need for love, the need for somebody to really care for her. She came to that well. Jesus treated her gently. He spoke to her. In that culture, a man would never speak to a woman. A man would never address a Samaritan if he were a Jew. Jesus spoke to her. He said, would you give me a drink of water? In the Arab culture, to deny a stranger a drink of water is the height of evil. It is really the height of ridicule. You'll never, never refuse somebody a drink of water. You would be considered the most evil, inhospitable person in the village. That woman said to Jesus, Master, I perceive you may be a prophet. Jesus looked at her and said, there is water that I have that you don't know anything about. If you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But the water that I will give you, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. She cries out, give me that water. Here is one that knows her heart. Here is one that knows everything about her, but he loves her still. Here's one that's offering her the water of life to give satisfaction and sustenance to her soul. Here is one that has compassion upon her. Here is one that cares for her. Here is one that genuinely, authentically loves her. At that moment, that woman felt strange, warm feelings in her heart. She knew that the water of life that was offered by the living Christ could satisfy her every need. She left her water pot there and ran to tell the story. You and I have a story to tell, the story of a Christ who, like Richard Kirkland, offers to us the water of life and satisfies the needs of our hearts. Would you like to pray right now and say, thank you, Lord, for that water? Dear Lord, thank you for the water of life that brings great satisfaction to our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Nathan, for blessing us with your paintings.
Thank you.
Be with us on future episodes of The Master's Brush.